This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Giddy hit Austin!
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
I just want to do things my own way, you know.
Someone's got it in for me. They're planting stories in the press. Whoever it is, I wish they'd cut it out quick. But when they will, I can only guess. They say I shot a man named Gray and took his wife to Italy. She inherited $1 million and when she died it came to me. I can't help it if I'm lucky. Yeah, people see me all the time. They just can't remember how to act. Their minds are full with big ideas, images, and distorted facts. And even you yesterday, you had to ask me where it was at. I couldn't believe after all these years, you didn't know me any better than that, sweet lady. Time you move your mouth. Blowing down.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you worldwide in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all the ships at sea, wherever you fans are out there. Huddled around your laptop, your iPhone, the P2 Podcast, found on so many radio stations, online, terrestrial and otherwise. Of course, you can always just go to p2podcast.com. We list them all there for you in chronological order. Coming to you today, as always, from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. Beckoning all musicians out there, professional and amateurs alike, to come record here. I don't just stick you in the room to record, I go in there with you. Help you engineer, have fun, throw on a sloppy organ part, background vocal, take a few passes of electric guitar solos on your stuff, if you want me to, whatever. Call me, 817-733-5256, or just shoot me an email, phil@philpritchett.com. Say, Phil, we need to record some songs. We're coming in town, and we'll work out a package for you. Thrilled to have you with us here, folks. Thrilled, as always. Delighted to have you with us here. Well, oh, man, so much going on in the world of music. So much going on in the world of music and the world in general, as always. That's going to kind of figure into our first topic here. Here at the top of the show, where I just sort of, just throw out whatever's on my mind here at the top of the program. And what a program we have for you today. You know who we got coming in here here in a little bit? In our middle section, someone I've gotten to know recently. I've played some shows with him, but a growing rock and roll different kind of guy and a real favorite here in Texas, the great Rodney Parker. You know Rodney Parker and the 50 Peso Reward? Oh, man, they've got that song, I Ain't Never Gonna Get Married. Great song. They covered Atlantic City by Springsteen. Got a lot of radio play. I hear that a lot. And a lot of young guys coming into the studio. I told Rodney this, but I don't know if he believed me. I go, man, a lot of these young guys coming in here recording. Yeah, I'm hearing a little bit less about, some of the Texas music stalwarts we've heard of so much about, and we all know and love for so many years. But a lot of these young guys saying, "Hey, man, this I really like Rodney Parker. Man, I really like his sound and you know the records he makes and stuff like that." So, man, we're going to catch up with old Rodney Parker. Great guy. He's going to be in here in the second segment to talk about his his career. Of course, I'm not interested in how good he's doing. I want to know about the struggle, you know, because we're all struggling. That's what makes it interesting to me. What are you struggling with? So stay tuned for that in our middle segment. And then Parker, oh, man, an R.E.M. fan. Oh, he and I were talking about R.E.M. We're thinking about getting together and working on some R.E.M. Do a little couple cuts just to throw out there on iTunes for you guys. Maybe a few R.E.M. Covers or something. We're talking about our favorite R.E.M. songs. We're like, man, we got to get in here with a mishmash of the 50 Peso Reward and the full band. Cover some R.E.M., throw it out there. So who knows? We'll talk more about that in our second segment, so look forward to that. And some R.E.M. as well in the vault. So look forward to that as well. Oh, man. I want to talk about something that's really been just beating me down here. I read some newspapers in the morning. Subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. Comes there to the yard every morning. I'm kind of old school. I like the paper. I like to think, man, what can I get in the paper that I can't get online? That's the deal now. It's all online. It's online. Really online is you're looking at your, you know, your Yahoo homepage or something. And here's a couple headlines up there. Someone's passed away or somebody got bombed. You kind of glean it a little bit, but there's no perspective, no analysis. I mean, you got to dig further to find that. But the Wall Street Journal has those great editorials, and you got all the news on the front pages. Then in the back, you've kind of got various people, some known, some that you don't know very well, but you know, kind of give it a little perspective on what's going on in the world. So I do. I read the Wall Street Journal in the morning, and I'm always reading online and things like that. But I gotta say, man, I'm starting to get beaten down by one word, and that is the word crisis. You hear what I said? Crisis. I don't know how the media or we as Americans, help me with this, Phil at philpritchard.com. Crisis. Everything is just a freaking crisis. And it got me to wondering, something that really troubles me, people make fun of me for going to a liberal arts college, Southwestern University there in Georgetown. Like, what'd you learn there, Phil? How come you didn't just, you know, skip college, save your money, and go play music? I don't know the answer to that. But I had a great college experience. Majored in history out there. Loved it. Had great professors. Learned a lot of cool stuff. But, I studied a lot of history. Read a lot about, just the Roman civilization, Mexican civilization, some South America stuff, Asia, whatever. Just history. I've always been really interested in history and things like that. And you get kind of a sense. It just gives you some sense of being out in outer space, looking back at the world a little bit, getting a sense of the age of the world. You know, if you read like Dylan, Bob Dylan or guys, they've got this real broad sense of humanity. You know, they're not just all hung up on current events or a trend or something. When they see a current event or something, he'll kind of mumble something about, that's what Attila the Hun said or something. You know, he'll kind of have some reference of something he's read. I've always admired that about him. And a lot of great writers that I admire do have a sense of history. And I think when the word crisis gets used so often, and we do have crisis, okay? There is stuff going wrong. You got the situation in Japan, of course, nuclear crisis, tsunami crisis. We've had the financial crisis, the housing crisis, Europe debt crisis. Crisis, crisis, crisis. But, man, you know, these are all problems. But I am going to put it to you, the fans, right now, that these are not crisis. These are just terrible, no question about it, and awful problems. But without sounding like a defeatist or anything, is this not the world we live in, the struggle of humanity? This is the permanent state of things. No, there's tragedies every day in every corner of the globe. Where someone's getting richer, someone's getting poorer. Someone's, you know, sitting on a beach eating caviar. Someone's starving in the street. It's the struggle of humanity to kind of make sense of all these kinds of things. And to always be calling something just a crisis. I mean, do we really have a budget crisis in this country? All we know is we don't have enough money to cover our expenses. Well, look, man, That's the story of my life. And probably the story of a lot of your lives. And that's the story of every government and every school district and every, and you know, there's has to be accountability for that, and you got to be able to change it and modify, and I don't know. I mean, if I don't have enough money to meet bills, well, we prioritize. Like, look, we got to pay the water bill. They're shutting it off, so that's got to happen today. And we have no food, so I've got to get something for dinner and something, you know, to last us the rest of the week. You know how it goes. You manage. You don't just suddenly go, you know what we have here? We have a crisis. We have a budget crisis. Just know, that's just how it always is. The United States budget. It's just the global warming crisis. You know, I mean, I don't know. Hasn't the earth, it's just been getting warmer. I don't, is it a crisis or is it just the permanent state of things? The climate is changing. The economics of the world are always changing. The weather's changing. Terrible things happen every day. Fires, floods, earthquakes. This is the permanent thing. I'm not saying that you shouldn't call something a crisis, but it just starts to lose its meaning, doesn't it? We have a crisis. You know, check it out. You know, go to your news. There's a crisis to fill. I mean, you could just apply it to anything. I don't know. I kind of subscribe to the theory of just you wake up in the morning and there's a lot of problems out there. And you tackle them. You try to prioritize them and tackle them. But the minute you start calling something a crisis is to suggest that it is unusual, that it is something so out of the ordinary, something so strange and foreign that demands action on a scale never before seen. And I feel like that's just dangerous, I think, to just get totally wrapped up in that. It always bothered me when people say, man, this election, this president's election, is the most important election in the history of the world. I'm always like, really? How do you determine that? Dude, I mean, if we pass, you know, this guy, and he gets in there, and he passes these laws, dude, that's just the end of this, or that's the beginning of this. And I mean, just for a second, think about that statement. Just in the United States, go back and see how many presidential elections we've had in the middle of, you know, World War II and the Civil War, and I mean, just during civil rights. I mean, I don't know anything. There's always some crisis, you know, quote unquote, that backdrops any presidential election. It's always kind of a turning point. But that always annoys me, man. And I think it's just part of our nature. You have to be so wrapped up in the now. This is the most important election ever. This is the biggest crisis in the history of United States budget planning. Or, you know, this is the biggest crisis, you know, we've ever had on the environment. Or I just like, dude, if you just stand back in space a little bit with Bob Dylan, remember him? Just kind of back the globe, roll back the clock. And, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis happened. You know, World War II happened. The Civil War happened. You know, and you know what? I'm not trying to diminish those events. Of course, they were gigantic, post-hold, catastrophic. But man, they came and they went. And most of us survived and we move on. Can't we just accept a little bit of that? Sure, you report on the news. Sure, you say, man, this horrible thing has happened to Japan. We got this nuclear situation. We're dealing with that. We're getting reports from there. Some are saying this, some are saying this. We'll keep you posted. But just to keep crisis, man, pretty soon we're going to run out of space at the bottom of the CNN screen with the thing scrolling across with all the crisis, man. I'm ODing on crisis. I got no crisis. It's the permanent state of things. It's called life. We got to deal with it. Pray for those who we've lost, and you just soldier on. And I think any good leader or anybody out there running a business or a family that's got their head on straight just doesn't get too, you just cannot despair and just start running around screaming about the crisis, this one horrible situation that trumps all that have ever happened ever in history because it's happening to you right now. Oh, man, how does this tie into music? I have no idea. But that's what's coming out today here on the P2 Podcast. Chew on that crisis. Shoot me a little feedback on that. Is it a crisis, or are we just trumping this stuff up, blowing it up a little bit just to keep the news cycle going or something? Have a sense of history, a sense of humanity's past, for crying out loud. Well, I'm excited, folks, for this next segment. We're going to talk some serious music, some serious rock and roll from a real up-and-comer out there, a great guy, a great songwriter, performer, Rodney Parker of 50 Peso Reward fame, will be in here on the podcast in our segment, stating.
Idiot wind blowing every time you move your teeth. You're an idiot, babe. It's a wonder that you still know how to breathe. Ooh. I can't feel you anymore. I can't even touch the books you read. And every time I crawl past your door, I was wishing I was somebody else instead. And down the highway, down the tracks, down the road to ecstasy, I followed you beneath the stars, hounded by your memory.
And fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. As always, enlightening your musical life from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, where the guitars lay strewn about the place, beckoning to be played, looking for that next great record. You, the enlightened souls, are listening this week. Thank you so much out there, fans, for all your emails. We get them here. Phil@philpritchett.com. Shoot them over. We love it. What a treat we have for you today. As promised, as advertised, we have delivered. As the great Rodney Parker has joined us here on the podcast to talk some music.
I'll take it.
Hey, well, Rodney Parker's here. Everyone knows Rodney Parker and the 50 Peso Award. So many young bands we record here in the studio. We were talking about this. We just got back from lunch. Oh, I'm just heavy. We're both of us with chicken fried steak here.
That was one of the better.
Just getting wrong across the street for the podcast. Part of the endurance test over at the Dixie House. But man, I was telling Rodney, he was kind of aw shucksy at lunch. But man, so many of these young guys come in and go, you just don't hear as much about the country old Texas music stuff. And, you know, and I've had a lot of young bands in here just going, man, I really love this Rodney Parker album. You know, have you heard of this guy? And we played some gigs with you. Where had we played? I was trying to think. We did the festival at the river.
Yeah, the Rowdy Float Trip.
Radio Free Texas. We
Radio
did that.
Radio Free Texas. And
a Granada Theater?
Yeah, maybe.
Something. I think we did.
Sounds about right. I know.
There might have been three bands that night. I thought y'all maybe had done one there with us.
I think so, actually. But
Houston, or I don't know. We've done a few, you know.
Done a few, out there. Yeah.
But I remember the Rowdy Float Trip. Maybe that was the most.
Yeah, that was fun.
The most recent one.
That was fun. Did you end up staying that night and like hanging out and doing the whole thing?
Oh God, no. Y'all stayed. Y'all just moved in down there, huh?
Yeah, and it was
slow rolling lows down there.
It got to be a little ridiculous.
Yeah, a lot of people running around in various forms of undress.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely,
all that going on.
But what's new in your world? You put out how many records now?
Three.
A full length album or two full length albums?
Two full lengths. We just put out an EP, and then I was telling you at lunch we're going to do the second part to another EP.
Yeah,
and that should be coming out.
Kind of a concept type thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I like it.
I do too. It's
so
fun.
What's at the heart of the concept here?
The heart of the concept. Well, it's called the Apology Part
right.
One, and we're gonna do the Apology Part Two, and it was just sort of kind of the idea behind it was us making amends with just how crazy we got. With some of our
an music. Atonement record,
yeah, okay. in a way, but yeah, it's still right. Just as crazy as the other record as far as like all the stuff we did to it. But it was like, we kind of, you know.
So EP, how many, like four or five songs?
Five tunes.
Okay,
yeah, and they're all kind of related and stuff. And but yeah, it's about music, you know.
Right, right. Well, how many? And so you said you guys are doing probably. Man, over 100 dates a year, 120 dates a year, around there.
Mm-hmm.
Six piece band. God, I didn't know y'all had that many pieces. Did y'all have all those guys at the float trip? Or was y'all a smaller band then?
We might have been just five then.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we've always been at least five. We just added the sixth member. Yeah, you know, it's.
Well, those songs are ones you do hear a lot on the radio, you know. I don't listen to a whole lot of just the Texas music radio, but out driving around, I'm always, we were talking, you know, your name that comes up, and it's stuff that does come up on the radio from time to time, which speaks well of what you're doing with the six piece band.
Yeah. We've been lucky to get some spins and stuff. Of course, you know, you have to pay for it.
Sure. Right.
But,
everyone loves you out there. Yeah. It's cost me a lot of money.
Yeah. but that's, you know, I mean, that's maybe.
Well, that's why I'm not on the radio much. I never, it's hard to get money out of me. Anybody knows with all these businesses and things I'm into. Well, what were some of your earliest musical experiences? Did you come from a musical family? You have, you know, siblings, parents that played or listened to music?
My grandfather, I guess, was the musician of the family. He was a music director for a church his whole life.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
And you grew up North Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Here? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so he was, you know, he was always playing music.
Influential. He had guitars, banjos laying around. What do you play? Piano. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not much of a piano player, but he has a great voice too. He sings really well.
Yeah, good.
And he always is, he's still, you know, every time I see him, he's like, you need to open your mouth when you sing, boy.
All right. Does he come to some of the gigs?
Oh, no, because, you know, he don't want to go see me in a bar or whatever.
Yeah, I see. He's a church-going man.
Yes, yes.
Church-going man.
But,
gosh, all you rock and rollers, that's not where you all come from, you know?
Yeah.
The church. You and Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and attracted to the devil's music, and here you are making your debut on the podcast.
That's right.
Well, I hope we're not upsetting your grandfather out there.
No,
being
I don't
on
think
this program.
So.
This is a wholesome show. It's a family show
this
here.
This is a family show.
It's a family show. Yeah. Well, we've been here walking around the studio, Trinidad World Recording here. You did your last record up here at Pandle House.
No,
Panhandle House.
We did
the first one.
The first two there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, Eric and those guys.
Yeah,
there.
I just know who they are. I've never been in there. But I've been intrigued because they got the old gear and they got the Neve board and all that kind of stuff. I was looking online. I was like, dude, man, they got some really, really nice stuff.
They got really nice stuff. And like the big old Neve board.
Yeah.
And,
they did that big Eli Young album there that everyone's
level.
Heard. And a lot of great music's come out of that place.
Yeah, and it's great up there. Those are good guys and real easy to work with. And
well, I was intrigued this last EP go around. You went to Austin,
mm-hmm.
and we're working with the Spoon producer down there,
Mike McCarthy. That's right.
Yes. Now, did he actually produce those Spoon records? Was he just I never really read Spoon. Are they produced? I got the impression they were kind of...
Might have just engineered. I'm
right.
not sure.
But he's worked on them. I mean,
he's really close with the band and you know, has worked several records for him.
Podcast listeners will know that Pritch's a big Spoon fan. And as much as the songwriting and the bizarre arrangements and lyrics and stuff, I love just the audio, man. The sounds. And very simple, but just real thick and real... just really interesting.
Yeah, they do get some great sounds, you know, the guitar tones especially. You know?
Yeah.
But he, you know, we were talking at lunch, Scott Kernahan.
Yeah, Nashville.
Nashville mm-hmm. guy who sort of mentors us. He is friends with Mike, and he's the one who he called me one day. He's like, you should go make a record with Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay.
The rest is history.
We had like 2 weeks. He's like, all right. He says he could do it, but you have to be there in like 2 weeks. We're like, oh, okay.
To hustle down and get in line.
Yep.
So what was your first, did you start playing guitar? I mean, after kind of piano a little bit, but did you start playing guitar kind of your first real instrument?
Yeah, when I was like 13
something. So what was the impetus of that?
Oh, I don't.
I mean, what were some bands? Or, I mean, you had to.
I can't remember.
Some kid down the street have one, or
I don't know. I wanted to do that. I mean, you know, I was probably 13, and like, you know, all the stuff.
You went to see Garth Brooks.
I went to see Garth Brooks when I was like 10. That
was
great.
Yeah, Reunion Arena. Yeah.
Yep. And then.
So what was that, like maybe 90, early 90s?
Early 90s. You know. He was flying around on wires, guitars, and throwing water everywhere. It was
That's
crazy.
Right.
And then,
like going to watch the Harlem Globetrotters or something.
It was.
Yeah.
It was a lot like that. so that was kind of my first concert experience. But the first one that I wanted to go to, as opposed to being taken to, was the REM and Radiohead show.
Yeah. So was that like a festival deal? Or was
it was just them two.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was
on the Monster Arena. The Monster tour.
Monster, and then Radiohead was on the tour for the Bends.
Wow,
and
dude,
it was crazy.
That's just nuts,
man. Yeah, it was
look
crazy.
At those two. Boy, those are two paths that diverged in the woods, you know.
Yes, they did.
Radiohead and REM at that point.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And to think about, yeah, Radiohead being on tour, like, as a support act.
And a support act, yeah, yeah. No kidding. Yeah. Boy, I loved, of course, I love REM.
Mm-hmm.
Much to the chagrin of some podcast listeners out there, I get your emails. What's all this REM stuff? Yeah, it was kind of fun to talk to you about old REM.
Oh, yeah,
you
that's
know,
great.
Just jangly and you know, totally southern, totally rocking, but then also just also kind of a weird artistic band to it. I guess that was some of their appeal back then in those early albums.
I think so. And I mean, there's a lot of pop sensibility there, but you know,
what were some of those early records you had? Did you pick up with them, like,
you know, Document?
Yeah,
and Green,
yeah.
And
sure.
You know, of course, Monster. I mean,
yeah,
all that stuff. I really didn't stop listening until just recently. And I say stop listening. I haven't bought one of their records in probably 5 years or so. But
right.
And I need to. I was telling
you. Kind of seemed like Monster was sort of their last, before the drummer Bill Berry left the band.
That's
that
right.
was kind of like, once he left, Michael Stipe shaved his head. It was kind of a, I don't want to say a jump the shark moment, but it was kind of like, it's not what it used to be, maybe. I don't know. They'd had a great run to then.
Mm-hmm.
They had that era right there, they had a great run of Automatic for the People was a really cool album.
Gosh.
Love it. Out of Time was great.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite was on Green, sort of a hidden one, World Leader Pretend.
World Leader Pretend is a fantastic
song. We used to do that. I used to do that acoustic.
Oh, that's
you
great.
You fill in the mood. I love that song, man.
Oh, it's
that'd be a good obscure Blueprint Garage Volume 4, Phil Pritchett and the Full Band, you know, World Leader Pretend. Maybe we could do it together.
I'd love that.
You know? We just do a dual. See, that would be a good, that'd be something that could be delivered out there.
Yeah, I think so.
Phil Pritchett and Rodney Parker doing World Leader Pretend acoustic.
Oh, we got to make
you bring
that
in your banjo guy. You know, we just do some sparse deal. No album. It's just it's on iTunes and some radio stations are playing it, and that's it.
Yeah, and we'll
What's this part of? Just, I don't know, man. We just did it.
We just did it
because it's great. We just did our best with it. We'll do it. Is that a commitment? We're just committing to stuff right here in front of all
of our
podcast listeners out there.
It's committed to tape, so now it has to happen.
So who else besides REM, you know, kind of back in there, Radiohead, REM?
Yeah, oh, and, you know.
Who else did you get into there around that time?
During that time, all the big bands were like, what, Soundgarden and Nirvana.
Oh, yeah, oh, you're right, the grunge era.
Pearl Jam and all that. I loved all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Just like everyone did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
But I've always said, I've always liked all genres of music, you know, as long as there's, you know, there's good and bad in all genres, and if it's good, it's good, and if it's not, it's not, and it doesn't matter if it's Texas country or country or rock or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't really listen to that much is jazz, but even though I listen to jazz.
Is there anyone you can come up with off the top of your head as a, what maybe would qualify as a guilty pleasure in listening?
Oh, I love pop music. So like,
I mean, who do you listen to that you kind of go, man, I probably wouldn't say that out loud.
Oh, okay. Well, I can.
Hey, just to give you a little history, Pete Cotney admitted to liking Wham. Or he goes, I love Wham. I'm like, now that is a guilty pleasure.
That is.
Very, very guilty indeed.
You know, all of us in the band are kind of big hip hop fans, so like, we can recite Dr. Dre records from start to finish.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's kind
of, it's not too guilty, but yeah, that's kind of the same kind of line.
But even like pop stuff that's on the radio now, I don't mind it.
Yeah, sure. What are
you
talking about? Like Lady Gaga?
Sure,
and stuff?
Why not?
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
If I'm in the mood and, you know, scanning through and one of those tunes comes on, I'll
just
sit with
crank
it for
it
a
out.
Bit, 3 minutes. Why not?
Yeah, sure. We had a, it's always weird because you can offend people with your guilty pleasures, because sometimes I'll say, man, you know who I like that nobody, I'll say something like Phil Collins or something, and the other person will go, man, I love Phil Collins. Like,
right.
What's wrong with him? I'm like, well, forget I said that. Let me see if I can come up with something else. But, dude, guilty pleasures. So, man, my guilty pleasures, who did I say? Me and Kurt South did a show a while back talking about the people we wouldn't. Well, the opposite of that was people everyone reveres that you just go, never got it, I think he sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Which can be a lot more controversial.
Yes, it can.
Because for a long time, mine was, I mean, I like him, I love him, kind of, but for a long time, mine was kind of Neil Young. People would get really pissed. I'd go, man,
I'm just saying I don't get it as much. Like, oh, come on.
You know what?
And another one of mine, Steve Earle. I get hit over the head a lot. I'm just kind of going, I'm not the biggest Steve Earle fan. People go, oh, how can you not? You know, you get shaken down for that. Yeah. You have anyone like that?
For me, it's funny you say that. Neil Young is one of those guys for
me. Yeah. Certainly great. But you just go, man, do I listen to him? Yeah, I don't know.
He has a weird sounding voice to me.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's kind of grating.
Right,
I don't know.
Sure. I hear you.
But, you know, obviously he's, you know.
He is who he is.
He is who he is for a reason, but it's just not. I would never sit down and just jam a Neil Young record.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
It's just not going to happen.
Oh, who was some other ones that we did? That was a pretty good. Yeah, Coatney had a Wham as a guilty pleasure. We had the great Alan Huff in here, a keyboard player for Roger Kreger. Who, you know, finally confessed to just really loving Train, big Train fan.
Oh, like
I was
the...
like, yeah, you know, great pop songs,
uh-huh.
But kind of guilty to
oh,
come
sure,
out and say
you know,
that.
What's their newest one?
Pat Moynihan.
Soul Sister, sorry, right?
Yeah.
That's gotta
I'm surprised
be
they're still putting out hit. They've been around a long time.
I know,
now.
Like, because I remember,
and they've been around like that dude was 40 years old before they ever
I know
got big, you know, or he was an older guy, wouldn't you know, uh-huh. Wouldn't.
Yeah, but I remember when they kind of broke with that one tune.
Not the Drops of Jupiter. That was later on.
That was kind of later. Meet Virginia or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
Dun, dun, dun,
yeah. Yeah, it's kind of... That was, I mean, 10
huge
years ago?
Huge hit. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and they're just now putting that Soul Sister song out.
I know.
I mean, if you didn't know any better, you'd think it was like some 19-year-old kids or something.
I know.
It's so kind of poppy and
it
silly,
is, man.
But yeah.
They've got something figured out, man.
Yep.
Coming to a Windstar casino near you. Train.
That's awesome.
Is that where we're all going to wind up? If we're lucky.
If we're lucky.
We'll get a free buffet and a free round of golf.
That's right.
And some casino chips.
Yeah, and put us in a suite at the...
Yeah, tonight, Cool and the Gang. Tomorrow night, Rodney Parker. You know, is that where they all wind up?
Well, if we're lucky, yeah.
Maybe that's a rural Vegas, you know. It's just sort of going out there for everybody to
Have you ever been out
on.
There?
To the Windstar?
Yeah.
I haven't been in there. I mean, I've been by
You've
it
been by
a
it.
Million times.
Yeah.
Y'all got in there?
I finally went in there just to go.
Sure. Well, why does anybody else go in there?
Well, I mean, like, we didn't play or whatever, but...
Oh, you went to just to hit the casino.
Yeah. I was like, well, I'm gonna stop in and see what it's all about. And
yeah.
It's giant. It's so giant.
It is. They're building, like, a Roman Coliseum next to it now or something.
It's really weird. Yeah.
Like a Tuscan village or something.
Yeah. They got, like, sections. Like, you're in...
different worlds and things like that.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's kind of weird. But... it's good times.
Are they hiring bands up there?
I've heard some guys that have gone and played and, you know, make a killing, but they're, you know...
Kind of a soft ticket show, I've heard.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, they sell tickets at 10, 15, 20.
Yeah.
But then they also kind of hand out a lot of tickets. They come in the room, gets pretty full, you know, no matter who's in there. I mean, now, they'll have some high-demand shows. I mean,
right.
You know, I don't know, Toby Keith will come in there or something. Yeah. They'll do well, but... You know, he probably get you some free Chris Isaac tickets out in the lobby if you wander around. Come in late, you think? Probably squeeze you in there.
Yeah, I'm going to try that next time.
Yeah, we like Chris Isaac. Guilty pleasure, Chris Isaac?
I don't know if that's guilty.
I don't think that's guilty.
I don't think that's guilty.
He's just greatness, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. He is.
Love
he
Chris is. Isaac. Well, who's been on your radar, on your palette of late, man? Got any guys you're listening to? New or old, like you know, rediscovering Steely Dan or what? Anything like that?
You know,
anything old and weird?
I kind of rediscovered Fleetwood Mac recently.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
They came up at lunch. You know?
They did, and those are one of those bands that just for whatever reason I never sort of spent time with.
Yeah, we take them for granted growing up. You hear them all the time. You know.
Recently, Brooks, my roommate, and all he plays bass in the band.
Yeah,
he was like, he got way into him, and so he just always had it on, and we.
Yeah.
And so lately, I've been listening to that and just listen. Great sounds, you know.
Yeah,
got,
oh, just
you know.
Unbelievable arrangements and Lindsey Buckingham, man, what a genius!
Oh yeah, yeah.
I've heard he's a tough guy to get along with.
I've heard some interesting stories about that band.
I have too. Maybe that'll be on the podcast for next shows. Me and Parker spreading rumors about Fleetwood Mac. No pun intended.
Hey
rumors. There, that was totally unintentional. Because man, there's that. Well, they talk about a legendary band with all kinds of baggage and weirdness.
Oh yeah.
But I knew someone working on a record for. Buckingham. Later, this was when I was up in Nashville, somebody worked with him, just said he was just, you know, got those guys just, you know, some of those guys like that, and there's some guys who will remain nameless in the, you know, around here in the industry, and who just seem to just get stuff going early on in their life, and the impression I get around them, those guys that are difficult, this is my theory, they just never had to master the art of you know, kind of bowing down to anybody their whole life. Right. You know, guys like you and me, at a young age, you kind of learn to be polite and shake hands. Like, that's the only way they're going to let you in the room.
Right.
Say, I'm Phil. I'm sorry. Hey, you know, okay. I mean, it's okay if I'm over here. Okay, he's fine, you know.
Right.
We can't just go in there and just say, you know, F you, get out of my way. I'm just kind of like, dude, they throw me out early. But those dudes that get big young,
mm-hmm.
they go in there and they can just rule the roost.
Right.
My old bass player went to a wedding in California where the master of ceremonies was none other than Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead.
Wow.
He was the guy marrying the couple. And Weir just pulls up like 30 minutes late to the ceremony, like in a Mercedes, just like parks on the grass, just kind of pops the curb and just
wow.
gets out, leaves the car open, does the wedding, and... You know, he just goes, man, his whole mannerism, my bass player said that. He goes, he probably never went to a room his whole life and just kind of picked up a sandwich like, can I eat this? Is this cool? Is this for me? Oh, I'm sorry. I took this from you. He just walks in. He just like grabs a hunk of the wedding cake, just stuffs it in his mouth, just keeps walking like, you didn't even cut the cake yet. He never had to ask permission ever his whole life.
It's fun. It must be weird to be a guy like that, you know, who...
Live in your own universe.
Well, and they probably think like... You know, anyone doing this, you have confidence in yourself, you know?
Sure.
But for them, they must think, like, of course, this is what happened. I knew that I was great, and of course.
All anyone tells me is I'm right.
You know, I knew that when I got out of high school, I was going to start a band, and it was going to be famous, and it was, and so, yeah.
We all knew that.
Right.
But some of us got knocked down. Everybody gets knocked down to size. And you're like, dude, I need to swallow my pride and get out there. And yeah, some of these guys skated through.
Yeah, just going.
I knew exactly
what was going to happen, and that's did what happened.
Yeah. It's kind of like that scene in Spinal Tap where they're all... getting upset over something, and their manager looks at him and goes, anytime a little wrinkle or bump comes into this little adolescent fantasy world you guys have built around yourselves, you all start screaming like a bunch of hairdressers. That's kind of how it is.
He was mad about the sandwiches, I think.
Something like that. or the Stonehenge monument being too small. It was some upset, you know.
Yeah.
We should be so lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rodney Parker is here hanging out on the podcast. Perhaps we can convince him to come back next week for some more conversation. Talk about more like... You know, writing and stuff, the process and all that. And hold us to it, fans. We're going to do that REM
World Leader Pretend
cut. It'll show up somewhere. So email us in if you'd like to hear that. Phil at PhilPritchard.com. Thanks for being here, Rodney, for dropping by today.
Thanks for having me, man.
You bet, man. We'll come back next week. We'll talk more music. And who knows, maybe come up with some other acoustic songs we can cut.
Sounds great.
With no one's permission. Well, coming up next, folks, I'm going to blindfold myself as I do every week and walk over to the rack of vinyl records, put my hand on an album, come back here and play it. We'll talk about if it's worth having next in the vault. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast. Download every album I have ever made for $20. How do you do it? Go to philpritchard.com. Order the drop card off the merchandise page. The drop card, $20. I put it in an envelope, mail it to you. It's got a little code on the back. You type in on the website. Download all whatever we got, 13, 14, 15 records there. Put them in the iPod. Come on, man. You're going to have to brush up on that P2 catalog. It's extensive these days. Can you name the fourth song on Heritage Way? Can you tell me what the last song on Suburban Legends is? Neither can I. But you, the fan, needs to be more in the know than me. I just make this stuff. I release it, and that's it. But you can buy it all online. Check it out. How about old Rodney Parker, man? Oh, it's great having somebody in here talking about some rock and roll, talking about seeing R.E.M. and Radiohead and all that kind of fun stuff. Well, I couldn't resist with the R.E.M. Stuff we kind of got into, pulling out a great R.E.M. album. Everyone knows The One I Love, and It's the End of the World as We Know It off this album. But, man, what great songs those are. You know, R.E.M., we kind of talked about it with Parker. They kind of, you know, Michael Stipe, shaved head and all political and weirding everybody out. Kind of lost their way, I think, a little bit, mid-90s and on. But, man, their early stuff up to this period, especially the document period, this record we're looking at. Their fifth album, they recorded this in Nashville, and it's a great-sounding album. It's just got really live drums on it, and I can't remember what studio they did it. Sound Emporium, is that one of them up there, I'm pretty sure, in Nashville? But they were famous for their just crazy shows and for drinking and fistfights backstage. R.E.M., man. You know, they kind of got a reputation as just kind of being all weird and artsy, but back in these days, man, they all had long hair and were kind of boozy and artistic and weird and just had a huge following that was really into them. And they wouldn't put themselves in videos. I mean, this record came out, The One I Love era document, this album, late 80s, I don't know, 87, 88. And they hadn't been in any videos, and they wouldn't lip sync to videos. They had all these things they wouldn't do. You know, very principled band. But a great record, man, and one I still listen to this day. Well, I like this next song here. Welcome to the Occupation. What a great title, R.E.M.
Listen to the water still, listen to the causeway.
Indeed, that's how they do it. Misters Michael Stipe on lead vocal, of course. Peter Buck on electric guitar. Mike Mills on the bass. And Bill Berry on the drums. You know what's kind of cool about R.E.M.? They're a four-piece. I make this point a lot when people point out that the full band is a three-piece. You got three guys in the band, you know? But think about what you're hearing when Phil Pritchett and the full band plays. You're hearing bass, drums and a drum kit, one bass, one guitar, and a vocal, and then some background vocals, correct? And the truth is, that's the same thing you're hearing with Led Zeppelin or REM. Even though there's four guys in the band, you've got the one lead singer that doesn't really play an instrument. So what are you listening to out there? One electric guitar, one bass, one drum kit, and a singer. And in the case of Led Zeppelin, you don't even have like background vocals, really. Those guys don't really sing background. They don't really sing much, you know. They're just kind of, Page might kind of lean into the mic, you know, or something. But, you know, and that's what REM is. So I'm always kind of like, well, you know, we're only three pieces, but, you know, we put out just as much volume as Led Zeppelin, man. Or at least we put as much instruments out there. The same number of voices. Something to remember. Something to remember there. Well, we are listening to Document by REM. It's me, Phil Pritchett, here on the Pete Sue Podcast. A great artistic southern rockin' artistic drunk band. Man, one of their great records here. One of my all-time favorites. I love this next song. Kind of an album cut, a deep cut. Not one of the singles and more listened to ones here. But this is the King of Birds. Just a lilting, spacey kind of tune. REM Document.
Children carry reservations,
standing on the shoulders of giants, leaves me cold, leaves me cold. A mean idea to call my own. 100 million birds fly.
King of Birds, R.E.M. Their fifth studio record document. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us here today, folks. Listening to some R.E.M. tracks. Oh, talking with our good friend Rodney Parker. Isn't he great? He's going to be coming back here in our interview middle segment here the next week and maybe the week after that. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more with Rodney about, oh man, new releases, stuff coming out, songwriting, all kinds of fun stuff. Look him up. I believe he's rodneyparker.com. Makes sense, doesn't it? Great music. His EPs are out there coming out. We're going to talk more about that next week. And wish him great success out there on the road. R.E.M. playing us out here. Don't forget to call me, 817-733-5256, to book Phil Pritchett and the full band. Oh, man, we have been playing so many private parties, just loving it. Can't get enough of it. And believe it or not, we do have a couple of things open in April. I think there's a Friday floating around. I don't have my calendar in front of me. Man, if you're having a backyard party or something and you want me to show up and play for an hour for $500, acoustic guitar, look at the schedule online at philpritchard.com. See if there's a little space in there. Even if there's a date on like a Saturday, if it's in your town, call me anyway because I could maybe do I could play early or late or something like that. We could make it work. So book it. Hey, it's Private Party April. Private Party April. I'm out there playing a lot of solo shows in people's backyards, having a ball. I'm going to be seeing some people I haven't seen in a long time. Really looking forward to that. So check out a date. Email me, phil@philpritchard.com. And all you bands out there, aspiring songwriters, legendary performers, everybody from some kid in high school nobody's heard of to Buzz Skaggs, whoever you are, come record here at Trinidad World Recording. Leather couches, vintage guitars strewn about everywhere. Every piece of great outboard gear you could possibly imagine. Microphones, drums. Just sink into it. Move in for a few days. We'll record. We got a package that'll work for you. You want to do one song? You want to do 20 songs? You want to spend one day working on it? You want to rent it out for a month? Whatever. All things in between. We make it work. And you'll be in there with me. If you want me in there. I'll do my best, as always. Well, R.E.M.'s going to take us out here, appropriately enough, from Document, their fifth record, recorded in Nashville, Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, I had to play this one, man. My good friend Darren Norman and his band came in and did a cover of this song, just kind of as a rehearsal, practice kind of thing. It's always hilarious listening to people trying to remember all the lyrics. But we all do. Birthday party cheesecake, jelly bean boom. It's the end of the world as we know it, isn't it, folks? And I feel fine. We'll see you next week on the podcast, folks. Much tougher.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Churn world serves its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Feed it up an ox. Speak grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High wire and a fire represented seven. Government for hire at a combat site. Left and west are coming in a hurry with the Furies breathing down your neck. Team my team reporters babble Trump, Kevin Croft. Look at that, no plane, fine, then. Uh-oh, overflow, population common food, but it'll do. Save yourself, serve yourself, world serves its own needs. Listen to your heartbeat, dummy with the rapture and the reverend and the right. Right, you patriotic, slam, fight, bright, light, feeling, pretty sight.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
6 o'clock, TV hour, don't get caught in four towers. Slice and burn, return, listen to yourself, churn. Lock it in, uniform and book, burning blood, letting every motive escalate. Automotive, centering, light a candle, light a motor, step down, step down. Watch your heel crush, crush, uh-oh, this means no fear, cavalier. Offer me alternatives and I decline.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Einstein, Leonard, Brasnap, Lenny, Bruce, and Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, you symbiotic, patriotic, slam, button, neck, right?
It's the end of the world.